Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you in this place? Hallelujah. Say thank you, Father. Thank you for your word that is walking in me, walking your pleasures in me, causing me to act according to your will. Thank you. Say, my heart is open. My mind is alert. I'm not distracted. I receive all of the word that you have for me. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name of prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'll be really fast because we still have some dancing and praising God to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But let's just get into something quickly I want to share and then we'll go on. Now, one of the things we've emphasized in this camp is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. We have emphasized that He is the glory of God. You see that in the Word of God. Romans 6 verse 4, He is the glory of God. He is the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and He is the glory of God. That is one of His descriptions. And He had told us in Hebrews 13 verse 5 to 6, or rather verse 5, that He would never leave us nor forsake us. And He is the glory of God. That means the glory of God will never depart from my life. That's what He said. I would always have glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory would never depart from my life. Are you in this place? Are you distracted? Say, glory would never depart from my life. Because He said so. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so you don't act as though He's not with you. You don't forget. Irrespective of what you face, be conscious. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well. These are things I want you to always remember from this camp. He said, if you knew the gift of God and the one who's talking to you. He was so conscious of the Holy Ghost. Even at the well, the Bible says he was tired, but he was still conscious. Conscious that the Holy Ghost was inside of him and he could do anything. And so no matter what you face, no matter where you are, be conscious. Don't act as though the Holy Ghost, no matter how bad it is, He's your comforter. Are you seeing that? He's your helper. He can fix it. So don't act as though He can't do anything because He can. Don't talk as though nothing can happen because something can happen. Anything is possible. Praise the Lord. Think about it. Jesus went to meet, of course, He was going to Martha's house, but He stopped somewhere and Martha came to meet Him. And she said, Master, if you've been here, my brother would not have died. You see, and because He was conscious of the Holy Ghost that can fix anything, He said, listen, your brother shall rise again. Are you seeing that? He didn't say, I'm sorry, I'm late. That is the way you communicate when you're not conscious that the Holy Ghost that can do anything is inside of you. When you're not conscious that the glory of God is inside of you, so everything will turn out to the glory of God. No matter how late you think you are, no matter if it is your fault, everything will turn out to the glory of God, but you have to acknowledge Him. Do you understand? Don't act as though He's dead or He can't do anything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we've emphasized that. When you leave this place, don't talk as though the Holy Ghost is not in you. Remind yourself. At times, you know, because you have to learn it. So at times, you might catch yourself about to say something, but then bring yourself back and remember, hey, the greater one is inside of me. The glory of God is inside of me. Something can happen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. And if He is with you, because He is in you, then there's no need to fear. Yes. Go to Hebrews 13 verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I will not forsake you. You know, the never leaving you is nice. It's great. It's wonderful. But when He says, I will not forsake you, meaning He will not abandon you. No matter the depth, He will be there with you. That's what a promise. What a reality. be so bad that he will leave you. Do you understand? You can't. He'll be there to fix things up. He'll be there. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look at it. It says, for he had said, I will never leave nor forsake thee. I'm supposed to have a response. Verse 6. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Oh! So he will never leave me. He will always help me. Are you seeing it? He will not forsake me. Instead, he will help me. No matter what I do, even though it was my fault, he will not forsake me. Instead, he will help me. Praise the Lord. It says, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, think about it. You know, some folks think God has, you know, God is quite impatient. After he gives you one instruction, you don't do it, he's angry. He's not talking to you. So imagine, maybe you wanted to go out to get bread at night. The Spirit of God says, don't go anywhere. You know, but you're hungry. And so you go. And when you go, someone grabs you. You don't go because it's my fault. This should happen to me. No way. He said he will never forsake you. Even though you went and he said he shouldn't go, as you went, he went with you. Are you seeing that? To rearrange things. Do you understand this thing? You know, we talk about Google Map a lot, but let me give the example. If the map says go right and you go left, you know what the map will do? It will redirect you. And then even show you the shortest way to get to your destination. So if you told you not to go out and you did stubbornly, he would go with you. Because he knows you're already walking in a path that might not be right, but he's there to fix things and to reroute you. Praise the Lord. He will not forsake you, but he's your helper. Say, so I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Praise the Lord. So his being with you is a big deal. It is the greatest deal. Do you understand? Greater than any bulletproof you might buy. Greater than any certificate you might have. He's the greatest one. Praise the Lord. So be conscious that he's inside of you. Don't act as though he's not. And then don't act as though he's so angry that he's not talking to you. Oh, no. Oh, no. He's not like that. He's looking out for your progress. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one of the most interesting things that comes to mind, the story that comes to mind when I think about God being with someone, and I shared it, I think, 2 Sundays ago, is Joseph. What a man Joseph was. He had a dream. And in that dream, you know, one of the dreams, second one, I think, he saw the stars, the moon and the sun bowing down to him. What a nice dream. Praise the Lord. I told you what to do with dreams. There are some you dash Satan. There are others you keep. I think that kind of dream, you should keep it. Do you understand? So he told, you know, his family, and they were not pleased with that dream. But even at that, the Bible says he was Jacob's favorite son. So the way he was, and you know, Jacob was not a poor man. He was rich. So just by being in Jacob's house and being his favorite son, so much so that he gave him a coat of many colors. Do you understand? You would think he was at the right place to fulfill that dream. He's in the perfect condition for that dream to be fulfilled. So he would be in wealth, be in his father's house, and maybe go to school and then become something, and then maybe one day everybody will bow down to him. But something happened that disrupted that. His brothers didn't like him. So they put him in the pit, and then they sold him. From being the most loved son, having wonderful dreams, he became a slave. At first, then he was sold as a houseboy. You're looking at that naturally and you're thinking, that dream has died. But listen, if God is with you, nothing dies. Yes. Listen, if God is with you, there is no end. I told you guys something. He called himself the beginning and the end. I hope you can get this. He called himself the beginning and the end. Meaning that when it's the end, he can become the beginning. And so, Joseph became a houseboy. What happened to the dream? Go to Genesis 39 verse 1. Let's look at something. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. But so you see, it was not just a houseboy, it was a houseboy slave. Do you understand? He had an owner. He became Potiphar's property. Bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. I mean, once you see that, you know that dream can't die. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Why? Because the Lord, how can he be a prosperous man as a slave? It was not about his condition. It was about who was with him. If God was with him, he was a prosperous man. Think about it. That is the same spirit that says he will never leave you nor forsake you. You're a prosperous person. He says, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. You see, God doesn't think the way man thinks. You look at the houseboy and say, is this where he is right now? You know, people will come and tell you that, you know, I saw my secondary school mates, or, you know, this guy was second best in class. He was selling fuel at the fuel station. So what? Someone has to do it. Are you in this place? Yes, so what? Don't look down on anybody. Yes. As long as the Holy Ghost is with you, no matter what you are doing, God doesn't think that way. Are you in this place? Doesn't think that way. Jesus was a carpenter. I know people think he was the son of carpenter. He was also a carpenter. That's what the Bible says. Would you have looked down on him? So it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He wasn't a prosperous man because he was in the house of an Egyptian. He was a prosperous man because God was with him. Every time you wake up, you say, I'm prosperous. Yes. Oh. And you know, if God left him, then we can say he has stopped being a prosperous person. But for me, he has promised. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Forever I'm prosperous. Forever. Look at it. Look at the results. It says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. He saw it. He saw it. You're leaving this meeting, people will see it. They would see it. They would see it. He says, the master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, when he says he was a prosperous person, like I said, naturally, it doesn't seem so. But remember, he had a destiny. There was a dream. His dream, his destiny was to be a ruler. So when he says he was a prosperous man, you have to think the way God thinks. He told us in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 that I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to bring you what? So God's mindset is always about the destiny. So when he tells us he was a prosperous man, what he was trying to tell us was he was prospering in his destiny. He may not have looked at it like it, but listen, oh, you know it. Even though he could not have been the second ruler in Egypt in his father's house, it would not have happened. So when they sold him and he came into Potiphar's house, in the eyes of men, it like it was digressing, but in the eyes of God, he was prospering towards that destiny. Now, you know what happened? You know, this is, now, think about it. He became second in command in Potiphar's house. Potiphar said, everything I have, take care of it, except my wife. Praise the Lord. Just in case that needed to be said. But then his wife had other plans. Now, he could have forgotten and misbehaved with a wife. Because there are some folks that the Spirit of God is inside of you for sure. But at times it's like you don't remember, so you misbehave. But not Joseph. And because he didn't misbehave, the Bible says Potiphar arrested him. So his case was really bad. He was a slave, arrested houseboy. So arrested slave houseboy. Praise the Lord. Go to verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. Even in the prison, the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So even in the prison, Joseph was a prosperous man. Why? Because in the eyes of men, things are getting worse and worse. In the eyes of God, he's getting closer to Pharaoh. Are you seeing that? He's getting closer to Pharaoh. And you know what happened? Afterwards, because he could interpret dreams, he was brought before Pharaoh, became vice Pharaoh, and then all of his family members came and the dream was fulfilled. My point is, in your life, be more conscious of the Holy Ghost with you. It doesn't matter the route it seems like you're taking. Do you understand? If I wanted to go to this place, all right, and I'm starting from here, someone would expect me to go like this, and I'm getting here. Are you in this place? Another person could expect me to go like this, and then I'm getting here. But for some reason, different things are happening, and then I'm going like this. But if God is with me, he's going to eventually lead me here. So while I'm at this point, even though people expect me to be there, others expect me to be here, I am conscious is God is with me, I am prospering. Are you seeing it? I'm a prosperous person. So I'm not going to talk, no matter the position, the location where I am right now, I'm not going to talk as though God is not with me. He is with me. He promised never to leave me, nor forsake me. Where I am right now, I am prospering. No tension, no pressure. God is with me. I'm a prosperous person. Is that true? That's the most important. Your consciousness that God is with you. You know, one of the things that we also said in this camp, and I want you to leave it, is the fact that spending time being conscious of the Spirit of God and spending time in the Word of God would benefit you far beyond what you can imagine. Yesterday, we talked about grace and peace being multiplied through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are some things that you cannot get by attending different seminars. When you know the Lord, you hear the Word of God, it says grace will be multiplied in your life. Peace will be multiplied in your life. And then you had the big one. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You know, that was so remarkable to me. Because most times we say something, we say you are chosen. And so that means that if you go to that office, you go for that interview. You see, you're the one going to look for it. But you are chosen, they will choose you. But then that verse just changes everything. He's telling you don't have to go and be searching everywhere to recognize you are chosen. Those things will come towards you. The Word of God has that ability. The Spirit of God in you has the ability to make all grace more abound towards you. So the most important person you should be conscious of is the Holy Ghost. Wherever you are right now, don't look at someone else. Do you understand? Imagine Joseph had been comparing himself with someone else. His own is finished. I mean, that is the end. The little comparison and Joseph should kill himself. That's why people commit suicide after all. He's already a slave. Then he's a houseboy. Then he's a prisoner. Three reasons to die. If he compared himself with someone else. But the Spirit of God is working in different people in different ways. You be content and confident about his work inside of you. About his leading in your life. And don't talk as though he has left you. Remember what Jesus said. And I'll end with this. Remember what we learned in John 14 verse 10. He said, as I speak, my Father doeth the work. So where you are right now, if you say, nothing is happening in my life, then nothing will happen. When you speak, I'm prospering. I'm a prosperous person. I mean, you're rerouted with speed. So your consciousness should be the Holy Ghost in you, and that should make you rejoice. Make you rejoice. Make you rejoice. Doesn't matter where you are right now. What's important is who is with you.
Yes.
Because the one with you can take you from where you are to where you ought to be.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Someone can say, where I don't like. So what will you do about it? You can't do anything about it. How much are you earning? 30K per month. Where are you living? Face me, I slap you. So what will you do about it? So I've been sending applications. Some people can send applications for years. You can't do anything about it. Why don't you focus on the one that can do something about it? And he lives inside of you. And he's been waiting for you to say something. So instead of complaining, where I am, nothing is happening. No, I am prosperous. Things are working for me. Learn from Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Learn not to blame yourself unto condemnation. Jesus never did it. Even though Jesus passed many opportunities to blame himself. I'll give you one. In Mark 5, I told you guys, he was going to Jairus' house. And the girl had not died. She was just sick. Jairus said she was near unto death. So death was close, but she had not died. And he was going. And while he was going, a woman interrupted the mission. She touched him. You think you say, ah, someone touched me, but I'm in a hurry. I'll come back to you. Send your name to the ushers. I'll come back to you. No, Jesus stopped. I said, who touched me? You can imagine Jairus thinking, what is all this? Who touched me? And the Bible says, Peter and Russell said, Master, the multitude thronged you. The people are pressing you, and you're asking who touched you. Hey. And Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. He's still having conversations. Meanwhile, there's an urgent matter he has to settle. He's still having conversations. He says, no, somebody touched me. Because I felt virtue leave me. And the Bible says, they started looking for who did it. Think about it. Jesus would have sat down on the ground and said, God, too fast, too fast. And woman, when she saw she could not be healed, meaning they were getting closer to her. Do you understand? That's when she came and said, it's me, it's me. You think she'll say, it's me. And you said, okay, it's you. All right, Peter, take note. Let's go. No, tell me your story. He said, well, you see, I've been sick. I said to myself, I heard about you. And then I came and touched you. And Jesus said, okay, that's the story. Let's go. He said, no, daughter, your faith has made you whole. He's having a service. And a girl is really sick. Even then he said, your faith had made you whole. Go in peace. Someone just came and told Jairus, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master. Do you understand? Jesus could have said, I'm so sorry. Oh, Jesus said, oh, you're still here. Oh, your daughter. Oh, she's dead. Oh, see, Jesus never blamed himself. He said, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He was conscious that God was with him and in him. He said, don't be afraid. Let's go. When they got there, another challenge. You had professional mourners. They were crying. You know, some people, you don't even understand. Okay, cry. Sit down somewhere and cry. Let's know you're crying. Some people will roll. Leave me. Let me die with him. I always say, leave them. Go and die. The Bible says there was a tumult. The place was tumultuous. What does that tell you? People were falling. Young girl, why her? She's so young. Me. Let it be me. Jesus came and said, why are you guys weeping? He says, the girl is not dead, but she's sleeping. And the Bible says, people that were crying switched and started laughing and mocking him. And he chased them away. But he never blamed himself. Because the Holy Ghost was inside of him and something would happen. So don't blame yourself. Don't say, if only I had listened to my uncle 7 years ago and traveled outside the country, at least even if it's of Cameroon, aside from Cameroon and I can get to him, I will not be in this country. Don't blame yourself. We said, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And you know what? He's not living in a village somewhere that you have to travel and look for him. He's inside of you. That means from where you are, this can shift. Or recognize his presence in you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I am marvelously helped of God. No complaining in my life. I'm conscious of the glory of God inside of me. Everything is turning out for the glory of God. Say glory! Hallelujah! Woo! Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Just speak in other tongues a bit. Speak in other tongues and just thank God for what you've heard. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.